Chapter 2. Warnings from Beyond the Grave. But there was more to come. No sooner had the Yomtov passed than rumors began to spread that people living near the graveyard had seen and heard weird goings on. At first, I dismissed the reports as old wives' tales, but I quickly changed my mind when a few days after Yomtov, I received a visit from two distinguished members of the community, Reb Feivel, the shamish of the Chevra Kadisha, and Reb Yaakov Rab, a learned layman. Reb Yaakov, facing me across the table, hesitated for a moment before blurting out, "Pressburger Rav, what I'm going to tell you will sound weird, but believe me, it's the truth." Taking a deep breath, he continued, "During the night of Shmini Atzeres, just as I was preparing to retire, my house began to reverberate with an unearthly, ghastly sound. The noise, which seemed to come out of nowhere, grew louder and louder, reaching an ear-splitting crescendo. My entire family was petrified with fright. Never before in all my life have I heard anything as dreadful as this sound." "If you ask me, Rabbi," Reb Feivel interjected at this point, "the trouble was caused by the woman we buried on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. You see, her husband did not treat her with the proper respect, and since Reb Yaakov Rab is close to her family, she's taking out her wrath on him." Without waiting for my reaction to Reb Feivel's amazing theory, Reb Yaakov continued, "Tell me, Rabbi, what can I do to appease the woman's spirit?" After giving the matter some thought, I replied, "It would be a good idea for 10 men to visit her grave and ask her forgiveness. I also suggest that arrangements be made for a minion to study Torah on a daily basis in the room where she died." Speaking with greater emphasis, I added, "Rabboisai, let me make one thing perfectly clear. The recent turmoil among the dead has nothing to do with things that happened in the past. Quite the contrary. The dead are sending us a warning concerning terrible things that lie in the imminent future. May Hashem have mercy on us." Visibly shaken by my words, the men wanted to ask questions. "Gentlemen," I said with finality, "that's all I can say. You must give me your word not to mention this conversation to anyone. In matters of this nature, the less said the better, for any talk may prove to be harmful." There seemed to be no let-up in the stream of bad omens. The commotion at the cemetery was followed by a tragic incident that happened while I was giving a lecture on halacha. I was quoting sources in the Gemara and Tosfos, when suddenly one of the students, Nachum Kayin, the young man who sang the solo on Simchas Torah, suffered a severe nosebleed. Within minutes, the nosebleed turned into a veritable hemorrhage that continued for several days. Much as they tried, the doctors were unable to staunch the flow of blood. Sadly, a week later he passed away. It so happened that Rabbi David Deutsch of Sardaheli was in Pressburg at that time, and we both delivered solemn hespedim to honor his memory. He was an exceptionally diligent and bright young Torah scholar. Just then, the yeshiva students were preparing a Seudas Siyum in honor of concluding Masechet Gittin and beginning Masechet Chulin, two very difficult tractates of the Talmud. In deference to the mourning of their fellow student, whom they dearly loved and respected, the celebration was postponed. I requested that they observe a fast on the day before beginning the new tractate, in keeping with a ruling by Sefer Chassidim, who states that the day before one begins to study Chulin or Yevamos should be observed as a fast day. There are Kabbalistic reasons for this. On the Shabbos of Parshas Vayetze, I arranged the bar mitzvah banquet for my nephew Shmuel Katz, and I hoped that through this joyful occasion, I would find relief from the dreams and tragedies that had been besetting me. But the bad omens pursued me relentlessly. My relatives in Frankfurt also prepared a festive meal in honor of the bar mitzvah, but their happiness turned to gloom when on that Shabbos, a fire broke out in the Jewish street called Neugas. The fire consumed all the houses on one side of the street, up to my mother's house, the bar mitzvah boy's grandmother, and on the opposite side, all the houses up to the boy's parents' house burned down. Although their homes were not destroyed, their furnishings and other possessions were badly damaged by the fire. Here in Pressburg, the bar mitzvah celebration was also marred by trouble. It is a well-known fact that the essential part of a bar mitzvah celebration is the drasha a boy delivers on this occasion, as set forth in the Shach and the Magen Avraham. Just as the bar mitzvah boy ended his opening remarks, word came that one of the neighbors in the same house had died, so that the boy, who is a kohen, was forced to leave the premises, since his increased sanctity did not allow him to be under the same roof with a corpse. Close to tears, he left the festive meal. He had been looking forward to giving his drasha, for which he had studied diligently. It is my fervent prayer that Hashem Yisbarach may grant him many other joyous occasions, and that he will be spared from sorrow and anguish. Death took no respite. A few weeks later, another young man died. His name was Gershon from Buxton. In my hesped, I mentioned the fact that he was beloved by Hashem and by his fellow Jews. That same winter, Reb Wolf Techen, a prominent member of the community, passed away. He was a tzaddik, a righteous man in the true sense of the word, who devoted his time and efforts to the welfare of the Pressburg community. He lived to a ripe old age, and his passing was mourned by the entire community. Eulogies were delivered by myself and his son-in-law, Reb Zalman Leib. May they pray before the heavenly throne for deliverance from pain and distress for our community and the entire Jewish people.